Join me, and together we can rule the galaxy.
Destiny and subscribe. If you only knew the power of the Sports Jedi.
This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
This is where the fun begins.
This is the way. You have been well trained, my young apprentice. They will be no match for you.
Where the fun begins.
Yes, Master.
Rise.
And getting away a line drive kick of Sam Martin. Hits and runs under the cap at 35. Starts to his left, hits the corner, turns the corner.
Good afternoon, Monday morning to you. And afternoon to many that are listening to the podcast. Welcome to the Jetalorian podcast here. I'm the host, Sports Jedi Kev. What is going on? This is a reaction video as the Jets suffer their first loss of the season on the road in the AT&T Stadium against the Dallas Cowboys. This game had a lot of bad and ugly, not a lot of good to talk about, but we're going to break that in this video. And also my thoughts of, you know, do the Jets need to sign a quarterback and they need to sort of bring in a quarterback quickly? We will break all that in there. So again, if you're watching along with us or you're hearing us on any of the many platforms that we are subscribed to on the YouTube, Rumble, Truvio, Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, and there are many, many, many platforms on the audio platform, Apple, 5-star review, please, on the Spotify as well. We really appreciate it. On Spreaker and anywhere you get your audio platform here on the BX Sports Jedi Network on those audio platforms and the Sports Jedi Network on all the other video platforms. Now, let's go right into it. I did the watch along. And I waited a 24 hours. I normally like to go 24 hours because when we do the watch alongs, you get my right moment emotion and sometimes a little bit of an F bomb or swear comes out. And I like to give it a 24 hours at most time to reflect and see and look around and listen to some of the post games and stuff and see what we see there. And basically, what I got out of this game from the very start, the Jets trailed. They had no answers for Micah Parsons. They had that the offensive line, Duane Brown. This is second game in a row, not up to par, not living up to par, very atrocious. There's an issue there with the offensive line on the left side, not allowing the quarterbacks plenty of time to get ready, and we could break down a lot the no confidence than the that there's a lot to unpack here. No confidence that the coaching staff or even sometimes the organization shows in Zach Wilson. But all in all, with the running backs also not happy, we saw, you know, Breece Hall has some comments about abandoning the running game, and he wasn't so happy. When teams lose, there's always getting people tend to chirp, though the comments get taken out of proportion. Listen, winning is the best deodorant. You know that to take away all the stench and all the foul, all the discontent with players. But it's the offensive line to start it off. I mean, when you have Michael Parsons. Just Micah Parsons comes in there and destroy the game there and wreck the game. Wilson, footsteps, tippy toes, whatever the case may be. And then when you go run the – I thought the Jets' offense was very predictable doing the watch-alongs in the beginning. You knew they were going to put eight in the box. You know, Wilson, they were wanting to see Wilson try to beat them underneath with the short routing pass. And because they weren't going to throw deep until the game was a little bit over or a little bit down the road, down, you know, later in the part of the game when the score was out of hand kind of for Jets. I would have liked to see the Jets open it up more. I've mentioned that a lot on the watch along with the play action pass. I said it time and time again about it. When you have a dynamic running game the way the Jets have, the play action pass is going to be key. I don't know if it's by design. I know I have many conversations with my partner on the channel about the height of Zach Wilson, but he is listed at 6'3" and with the shotgun formation. But listen, every team does it with the shotgun formation. Rarely when you get a lot of quarterbacks that will play under center. I think when you're under center, and it also has to do with the offensive line as well. But when you're under center, the play action pass becomes more of a lethal, dangerous aspect weapon in an arsenal because you're going to free up some of the middle linebackers or even the safeties. That's why later on in the game, you saw when he threw an interception when he was going for Wilson for the home run ball. And most of the time, that's usually a one-on-one with the corner. But Wilson stares, and that's something part of his development, lack of development, staring down, and he was going to Wilson all day, and the safety saw that. He went right over and took that interception away from him. That's not the reason why they lost the game, but those are some of the growing things. I thought Wilson before the half played okay, was showing some life, especially when, and I remember saying that in my watch-alongs, I was like, they need to go here, first here coming out. They need to go play action, and he needs to go for home run ball. Well, it wasn't quite the home run ball. It was a quick slant, and it was off the play action when he hit Garrett Wilson on that slant, and he took it to the house. A good, phenomenal job by Garrett Wilson putting the afterburners and going and scoring there, and momentum was changing. Now you're only down, you know, it was, I believe at that time was, it was 10. I think that was when the Jets scored their 10th point, and they were 13-10, something, somewhere around that line there. Then they have an opportunity there on defense for Sauce Gardner, who's, not, by the way, it's only two games of the season. Not the same guy, not the same Sauce Gardner as we saw last season. I don't know if taking his skill set for granted a little bit, but he hasn't been playing the same shutdown ability that we normally know he does. He should have had a pick six. That should have been. This is the second game in a row that the New York Jets had a chance to get an interception and run it back for a touchdown. I understand we can't complain too much. You have three. You have four turnovers takeaways in two games. You're averaging two per game. Still, Gardner should have had that interception and taken it to the house, in my opinion, there. So there were so many different things. And then, of course, instead of getting the turnover, Dallas continues to move the football. They eventually get that touchdown, and they go up at the half. I know we get the ball back. Wilson did some encouraging things before the half, moving the football. It was a bit encouraging there. We're like, okay, maybe the second half we get the ball. We'll get the ball back. And we get to establish ourselves, momentum, build off of closing out the half, and no, three and out. It's tough because we want to see Zach Wilson succeed. He has a lot of tools around him. He has a lot of good offensive weapons, a lot of skills position weapons. But then the offensive line, especially the left side, is terrible. They're putrid. They're garbage. You know, I'm going to give Brown that he doesn't have his legs under him. You could say this is the second game in preseason. This would have been like a second game preseason for Brown coming off an injury. But how much more can you and a lot of bickering and complaining when you're for a team that's 500 at 1-1. But the mistakes that we've seen before of last season are surfacing again, and I don't want to see the outcome of last season when we finished on a losing streak. You know, that's my concern. That's my alarming concern right now. Is I'm seeing a lot of negative play that we saw at the end of last season, and yes, I understand we're supposed to fix with Aaron Rodgers, and but you still have a lot of talent. This is what we heard about how loaded this team is, and even until this day, I still say they're very loaded, talented. I'm not giving up on them, but that play on Sunday was very concerning. Yes, granted, that is a good Dallas Cowboys team. You know, they have started off the season very impressive. That defense, you know, Mike McCarthy calling the plays on offense, nothing to write home about. They weren't world beaters, Dallas, on offense. The Jets defense, as much as we feel like they let us down, but for being on the field for so long, out on the and they gave up 6 field goals, a couple touchdowns, but 6, they held Dallas to field goals, 6 field goals. I know they're not the and I know that they also get those slings and arrows because they went out there claiming they were going to be like the 85 Bears or they were going to be a top elite defense and so forth, and they did play well, but I felt like Dallas is up tempo when the game started. You know, they were up tempo. They were getting into the huddle, but coming in and out, moving fast. Didn't allow the Jets defense to set. I think it gave the Jets fits moving forward. You got to keep an eye on teams trying to copycat. It's a copycat league if they want to end up doing that with the Jets. So they're going to have to substitute quicker, and they're going to need quicker linebacker defensive ends. And brings me up to Will McDonough not playing, inactive, healthy scratch, inactive for your 15 pick, your first round, number 15 pick overall in the draft for being a healthy scratch. And I know Saleh said that he wanted Larson in because he wanted, you know, a bigger defensive against the running attack of Dallas. But listen, this is a game of speed. You need to have guys who can tackle, who could get coverage, who could move with some lightning speed there. Let's face it, Larson last season didn't play. This year, this game, I didn't even remember calling his name. He's not a defensive impact. I'm not saying cut one for the other, but you have to play your number one draft pick, McDonough. He's got to play, man. The kid on Hard Knocks in the preseason, that kid has a motor. He's high energy. He's hungry. He's ready to go. You gotta play him. You can't leave him as a healthy scratch there. What's the point of drafting? I know it's a long season, and I know the collegiate players, they tend to run out of gas later in the season because they play less schedule this first year. All those rebuttals, I'm putting it out there as well, but you gotta play McDonald in these type of games. You drafted him. You gotta see what he is. He's gotta get his feet wet, and Dallas would have been a really good place for him to go get in there and play. And they could have used his speed over and especially against the tight ends and move around, in my opinion. But it is what it is on that one. I thought the defense were okay. They weren't great. And the Jets offense, it was a ripple effect. They're not able to get first downs, extend drives, give their defense some rest. The defense was vulnerable, bend but don't break. It's just like, and first of all, I think there's an issue here. I'm going to say it, alarming issue when it comes to Dalvin Cook. I was so excited and happy that Dalvin Cook signed with the New York Jets. I thought with Aaron Rodgers under center, we don't know what Breece Hall was going to be, if he's going to be 100%. You know, where he was coming from in his injury and how fast and how well he was going to look. So you bring in Dalvin Cook for a couple, you can play him 6 games. And if he starts dwindling down, you have a Breece Hall and Izzy Abakanda has been very impressive, although he was inactive. And Michael Carter, the running back, was also a pretty good running back, a very professional running back. Nothing to write home about. Probably averaged about 2.4 carries yards per carry, but hey, he's a good. They all blocked on the pass rush. You know, that's why I thought Cooks was going to be a big plus here, because if they do, you could have him chip block, come in, and if there's a blitz, a experienced veteran running back at that. And I thought that was going to help, but Rodgers going down, what I saw from Dalvin Cooks, and I'm just saying what I saw. This is my opinion. And I'm not saying he has or hasn't. It looks like Dalvin Cook has no interest to play football for the New York Jets. He's going to collect his pay. And this is just a one game. And not because he fumbled. It's just a lack of effort. He feels like, all right, I'm going to play. I'll run a little bit here. You don't see him. Maybe he lost a step or not or something. He looks disinterested. You know, he's like, why am I going to go all out here where I don't have a, you know, and it shows it. I don't know if that's the reputation of Zach Wilson, the organization, or what is it, but he looks very disinterested running the football. And playing, if this happens again going forward, the Jets going to have to try to have a conversation and going to have to try to move Dalvin Cook here to a team that needs a running back. Even if you get a sixth round pick, I know, and I know it's just a 1 year contract. I know the reason why he's here, we know that it was to be because Aaron Rodgers was here, but. You got to show me some professionalism or something. You know, I'm not calling him unprofessional, but you got to show me some enthusiasm when you're running the football. If Rodgers is not here, you know, let the organization, either through your agent or something, that you don't want to be playing for the Jets because you don't believe they're going to go any further. So they can move you, find your home. You know, listen, Izzy Abakanda from Pittsburgh. He runs. He's a quick change of pace back who's hungry. I'd rather have that kind of player that wants to try to prove something and run with that. And I understand he might not be able to block on deep, but you got Michael Carter as well. Remember, they didn't want Ezekiel Elliott here. They said they were good. The running back room was good. They were fine. So you know what? If Dalvin Cook doesn't want to be here as well because of the Rodgers not being here, move him out. Move him out. Get players that want to play and look interested. I know he had that terrible fumble, and it's like, oh, that's something that's been placating Dalvin Cook his career with the fumbles. You know what? I could look that. That's part of football. I'm not going to say, but the disinterest concerned me a little bit with Cook. You know, he did play 17 snaps. Breece Hall had played 16 snaps. Michael Carter played 15 snaps. Yes, they did not do an effort on running the football because they were trailing. They were down by two scores. And I thought myself they should go with the run, but when they have eight men in the box, it's going to be tough to run the football with eight men in the box, especially when there is no fullback or anyone, or the offensive line isn't really opening any holes where Parson was moving all over the line. They were moving him inside, outside, in the corners, and he was becoming a habit. And Lawrence, I thought, played a hell of a good game for the Cowboys as well. So it was a tough matchup with the run game for the Jets. I thought the Jets were not physical up front. They were being out physical. And Wilson didn't have time. And also, I got to give criticism as well to Zach. You got to be able to complete your short passes, brother. You got to complete those short passes in the flat to either your tight end. And he did it late in the game. He was moving. I thought him and Coughlin had a good rhythm. But whenever the running backs early in the game get some screens, there was a couple screen plays. I was like, oh, my God. I don't know what it is, if it's a lack of concentration with him or what it is. And this is already year three, and we don't see he's going to change when it comes to the short passing game. Now, the long ball, when he's going to throw it out deep, he's got a cannon, man. He's got a cannon. But you can only go so deep so much. all the time. You just can't go, you know, you can't always go running shooting no more. They don't, defenses are too smart. Cornerbacks are too smart for that. And brings me to my point here, after seeing that game and what's going on, I think the Jets got to think about bringing in a quarterback here. They, you know, it's Monday. They need tomorrow. I would love to hear from the beat reporters that they're bringing in to just try out a couple of the names there. I know some of these names don't excite me whatsoever, but they shouldn't either. But if I had my choice, the first person I'm calling in there is not going to call you draft picks. It's just going to cost you money. And you could sign, you bring in Carson Wentz, man. You try to bring, I know I'm not a big fan of him. You know, he has some opportunities in Washington, but Washington was a disaster with the owner, with all the collusion, you know, with all the stupidity that was going on with Dan Snyder. I know you had Ron Rivera, who isn't really a quarterback whisperer there. It wasn't a perfect fit for Carson Wentz. I know the Indianapolis Colts, of course, Jim Marseille is another nutty owner up there. And there's not no excuses on Carson Wentz, you know, because he's also had a reputation of not being a likable person in the locker room. Now, I didn't say that. That's what I'm hearing. I'm just repeating what is told by the NFL insiders about. I'm pretty sure Carson Wentz, if you bring in Carson Wentz to this team, and you sit him down before you sign him, you make sure you have your general manager, your owner, and your coach have a conversation with Carson Wentz. And personally, you know, you'll talk to him and say, listen, we need you to come in here. You're not a savior. We need you to just execute. And Nathaniel Hackett as well. I need you. And first and foremost, I'll make sure Nathaniel Hackett goes way up through the playbook. And if he understands it, I know it's going to take a little bit, but if he could read it, understand it, understand how to execute Hackett's offense, you tell Wentz, listen, you might not be long-term here, you know, unless you go out and win a Super Bowl, because we're bringing Rodgers back. But here's the deal. You go out there, he's 29 years old, going to be 30. You go out there, revive your career in New York here. You get this team to the postseason. You're going to be a free agent. You could pretty much make a big payday here with a team that is stacked. I just need someone who's a game manager who could manage the team with the running game, make the plays, make the throws, the accurate throws, you know, move the chains. And we have enough firepower where we could put you in a position to succeed. You could make us to a position to succeed as well. You could stick it to the Philadelphia Eagles. You're in a big market where, you know, where you're going to be in prime. We got, I believe the Jets still have like six more primetime games where we're going to see a Carson Wentz, maybe four or five by the time he gets on the team. I will go with that. Try to sell that with him. See if you can get a motivated Carson Wentz. He doesn't have to start right away because you got to see with Zach. You know, you still got to believe in Zach Wilson. But boy, if you go out there and you lose to the Patriots on Sunday, and by the way, the Patriots are a three-point favorite on the road. Yes. So the Jets are underdogs at home against the New England Patriots, who are 0-2. What does that tell you with Vegas? What does that they tell you about the quarterback play? That's a concerning. And I know Carson Wentz. I will go with Carson Wentz with that. That's my motivational sell that I will go to him. You're 29, you're 30, you could get yourself a multi-year deal, 2 to 3 year deal with another club. They're always going to need quarterback. You show yourself you could quarterback here in New York, or you want to be Aaron Rodgers' backup if he comes back next year and you move on from Zach Wilson. If that's the case, let's say the first best case scenario, Carson Wentz does sign here. He becomes and he takes the starting job from Zach. They do make the postseason, which the rumors are has it that Aaron Rodgers is trying to come back for the playoffs with that invasive surgery that he had on his Achilles heel. He was looking to try to get back in January. If you could just be even if you're the last wild card team to get in with Wentz and you bring him back Rodgers, I mean, you could make it, you never know what could happen. You know, you never know though. That looks highly unlikely, because if you're in the postseason, why would get rid of the quarterback that got you to the dance? But I digress with that. I will go with Wentz. You know, you take this team to the postseason, you pretty much can make you make yourself another payday. You can get yourself another $25 million, you know, another, you know, guaranteed contract somewhere. I mean, someone's willing to need a quarterback, you know, let's say Texans or Tennessee. Tennessee is a perfect place. You know, with Tannehill, if Tannehill doesn't do well this year and Wentz comes to New York and does well. But I'm just going, you know, I'm just hypothetically speaking on that. So let's see if they bring in Wentz on a tryout, see how that works out. The next guy you could try to bring in here, personally, and I think these are going to be trades. You know, you could give up a seventh round or low level, is Nick Foles. Nick Foles, I believe it's with the Indianapolis Colts, if I'm not mistaken. Nick Foles, former Super Bowl MVP, another former Philadelphia Eagle. He is still 34 years old, still not relatively that old for an NFL quarterback, who is experienced, who could read the defense, who could read a blitz. I don't know how fast he can get the ball going. Not too much, too mobile with Foles, but you're getting a professional underneath center. I know folks were talking about Matt Ryan. I'd rather have with Nick Foles over Matt Ryan right now. I think Matt Ryan, yes, Ryan is a professional quarterback who can read defense, who is a veteran, but I don't think he's mobile enough with this offensive line to really get the Jets what they need because of his lack of mobility. The accuracy and knowing and the professionalism is going to be there for Matt Ryan, but I don't think the mobility is. And if the offensive line, if the offensive line stays where they're at, where they're not going to give you too much time, you're going to need someone to move. I don't know. Nick Foles could be movable, when I mean mobile enough for the Jets as well. But he is a pretty good backup quarterback here to come in. Former, you know, he's taking a team to a Super Bowl. And we shall see with Nick Foles if it's available there. Another name out there is Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston is another name out there. Jamo. He likes to throw the football. With him, his turnovers. Would it be an upgrade on Zach Wilson? It's tough to say. Slightly right now, yes. If I had to pick one of those two to quarterback a game, one game for my playoff life or just in general to live another, I think I have a better chance with Jameis Wilson underneath center to win me in one game. You know. Which, you know, the warts with Jameis Winston, the turnovers, a little bit throw. But when you're asking him, maybe he clicks with Garrett Wilson. Maybe he clicks with a Lazard, with a Nicole Hartman, where he could find the underneath and seize the underneath and get something in the short game and moving. You know, so, and someone who could complete a running back screen when the defense is when it's there. That's why I like it. You know, the Nick Foles, the Jameis Winston. Even Carson Wentz, to a degree, I think Carson Wentz is mobile. If he wants to run with the football, he can run with the football as well. So can Jameis Winston. But Jameis Winston is more of a pocket passer at his age now. But also a young guy who could come in here with that same, I would tell him that same bill of goods I would sell Winston that I sold Wentz, is about come in here. Rodgers is my long-term future, but you come in New York for a stopgap here with a very loaded team with these skill position who is really loaded. You probably could get yourself a contract with another team for next year, a multi-year deal, and show you that you could probably run an offense, get this team to the postseason that is stacked, and you never know, make them some money elsewhere. That's very something intriguing for, I always say it, nothing motivates a professional athlete more than money. And if you could get that there for Winston to try to get that, get him in there with that same where Carson Wentz, I think that could work there. Maybe Tim Boyle, the Jets see something in Tim Boyle that we don't see. Remember, they're in the building. Hackett is with them. And he has a whole OTAs, all preseason with Boyle. Maybe Boyle sees the verbiage. Maybe Boyle sees the nose. But Boyle, the lack of inexperience on the defense with the blitz and so forth. Remember, the New York Jets got to play a lot of the NFC East. We still got to play New York, the Giants. We still got to play the Commanders with Chase Young and company. We still got to play the Eagles. The Kansas City Chiefs are coming up in 2 weeks from now. The Jets going to see some good defenses. And of course, you still got to play Miami, who's underrated defensively. You got another game with the Buffalo Bills, and of course you got to play another game in New England with the New England Patriots. So those are tough defenses there. You know, the Jets' schedule is not a favorable one. It's a tough, pretty tough schedule, and it's interesting to see, do they need a quarterback quickly? That's why I asked that question. And I think they need to bring in someone into the building to see what they have there, see what their thoughts are, see if they're motivated. If you could tell in a quarterback, and if they have that twinkle in their eyes or that motivation, like, wow, you know, look at these tools, these toys. You know what? I wouldn't mind being on the center and throwing to some of these players. You know, Garrett Wilson, maybe, you know, I don't want to sound like a homer, but to me, he's a dynamic wide receiver that I would love to have if I'm a quarterback to get to him. You know, you got Lazard, you've got Hartman, Brownlee, who's been inactive, another big target that I want to see them using later down in the season. And also Gibson is a speedster who has some speed, who is special, man. So they have, and of course the running backs that could catch the ball from the backfield in Hall, as well as Michael Carter. They utilize it well. They could really do something there, but they got to have a coaching. Look, let's face it. Rob Saleh has got to make a move. If Rob Saleh has to be real, and he doesn't have to get to the Manish Mehta, to the Rich Samini. None of the beat writers got to know about it, although Manish don't cover the Jets anymore, but you know my point. It doesn't have to get to our ears. It doesn't have to, but Saleh needs to go to his general manager, knock on his door, say, listen, I don't think this guy, Wilson, get me someone else in here. I need someone who can win, because let's face it, Jets don't make the postseason. Saleh's out. Saleh's out as a head coach, and Joe Douglas might be right behind him. I don't know that. I think it'll be a mistake to get rid of Joe Douglas. Maybe the head coach might be the one that might get the axe there. And again, this is the issue that I'm going to go with, and this is my final rant on this issue for this video is they did a disservice here. As you look back, hindsight is 2020. Hindsight is 2020 again. When they were going for the head coach search, Mike McCarthy was out there. And listen, not because the Dallas beat our asses on Sunday, I'm not going by that. I think, you know, when McCarthy was out there, we went with Gase. You needed to bring Mike McCarthy, who wanted to coach Sam Darnold. He wanted Sam Darnold. And listen, Sam Darnold hasn't done anything in the league. He is a backup for the 49ers. He has not lit the world on fire neither. But McCarthy wanted to be a Jet coach. He wanted to come to the organization. You went with Adam Crazy Eyes Gase because Peyton Manning said so. Gase was a disaster. Then you have the number one draft pick here. You have you're going to bring in a rookie quarterback, and you brought in a defensive-minded coach. History is repeating itself. The only history that didn't repeat itself is going to two AFC title games under Rex Ryan. That's the only thing that we didn't repeat ourselves, because with a rookie quarterback, you bought a rookie, first-time head coach, defensive-minded first-time head coach in Rex Ryan. If we would have went that route, we should have bought in an offensive-minded coach that will help develop the quarterback. Look at the way Dable, and I know Dable inherited Daniel Jones. I understand that. But that's an offensive-minded coach to get the better out of the young quarterback. The same thing around the league. You see the trend around the league, it's a copycat league. They bring in head coach who are offensive-minded with the rookie quarterback so they could grow together, so they could grow and they could get in. Especially if you're not going to bring an overpowering OC, you know, like one of those great OCs. I'm going to use an old-timer, Norv Turner, you know, or the Shanahan, those type of deals. You got to go on heavy offense. Listen, when Zach Wilson is down in the dumps, when he goes into the bench, what is Rob Saleh going to tell him to relate about offense? Maybe nothing. He can't. He's a defensive-minded coach. There's nothing that he could tell him. Other than, we got you, kid. We're going to keep your head in the game, kid. But anything technique-wise or see something as in the offense, you know, try this and this and that, Saleh isn't going to provide anything there. And I know you have your offensive coordinators for that and this and that, but sometimes when you hear from the head coach, they made a disservice there, and I hope they fix that. If hopefully not, hopefully when the next 4 years from now, when we're looking for another quarterback and Rodgers retires and the new quarterback comes in, they could bring an offensive-minded coach. And maybe it's Nathaniel Hackett gets elevated as head coach, and then they could bring in the young quarterback in the draft and so forth, you know, talking about years from now, I'm hoping. But personally, the Jets need a quarterback. The season's not over, man. It's only 1-1. A lot of folks are thinking the season is over. But the one thing that alarms me here right now as I do this video is I'm starting to see trends that we saw last season when it comes to the offense. Very stagnant, very, very 3-and-out. Defense staying on the field too long. And that's going to wear out the defense. You know, I got to find out what happened to Quincy Williams. He went out he left the game holding his kneecap. Hopefully nothing too serious. I didn't see anything too serious. As soon as I'm done with this video, I'm going to go check the injury report. But he left off a little hobbled. So, you know, I just don't want to see my defensive guys go down because they're on the field too long. And we just need better – we need more cohesion on offense, man. We need to go – the guys, you know, and again, is it that moving the line around a little bit? Maybe give Brown one game off and move the line, shake things up, move Becton around and Vera Tucker and McGovern and Tippin. I don't know because the last thing you want to do is start playing ring around the rosy when your offensive line, then it's just going to get really someone hurt. So you want some the offensive line needs to have cohesion. They need to go all for one for all. But Wayne Brown, again, is just concerning. So that is it for me here on the Jets Alorian podcast. As more as the week goes on, anything news will break in and we'll make another podcast there. I'm just going over the reaction on that loss to the Cowboys. Listen, you can win all 17 games on the season, but I didn't like the way they lost that game. Very uncharacteristic with their defense there. Although it was bend but don't break, but we shall see now. Go out there at home, beat the Patriots, Mac Jones, and Mac Jones, hopefully the defense, the secondary can get some and not allow them to throw the football. And hopefully your defensive seven gets to him and negate the run and get to him. And then we just take, I don't know what we're expecting on offense when it comes to the Jets. Maybe the special team's going to have to do something. Remember, the Patriots walked off on the Jets on a special team punt return. So that's how close those games back and forth. Hopefully the Jets, with their talent, overcomes a good head coach, a great head coach, one of the best of all time. So we shall see. Right now, as Monday, they're a 3-point underdog at home. The Jets are. We'll see before the game starts or before the weekends. We'll find out who's on the injury report, who's not, and we'll probably do another video. So with that, this is The Way. Take flight. And this is the Jets Alorian podcast here on the Sports Jedi Network with your host, BX Sports Jedi Kev. We'll talk to you later, friends.
Join me, and together we can rule the galaxy.
Destiny and subscribe if you only knew the power of the Sports Jedi.
This is The Way.
This is The Way.
This is The Way.
This is where the fun begins.
This is The Way. You have been well trained, my young apprentice. They will be no match for you.
Fun begins.
Yes, Master.
Rise.
Now, and getting away a line drive kick of Sam Martin. Hits and runs under the 35. Starts to his left, gets to the 40, turns the corner, at the 45, at the 40, at the Bills 30, inside the 20, stutter step, to the 10, to the 5!